Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. When it comes to making money, because we all need money to do a lot of different things in our lives, it isn't everything, but it is essential. So how exactly, though, can we make money doing something that we love? Because then not only do we get to accumulate revenue, build up our income, but we also love our work, and our work takes up a large amount of our lives. So we better make sure we are doing work that we love. So that's going to be the focus of today's episode. And today's guest who is with us today, she is an uncompromising business coach who believes it's all possible. She helps people make money doing work that they love while also living the lives that they love. She started out in corporate America managing multi-million dollar projects spanning 4 continents and overseeing dozens and sometimes hundreds of team members. She quit her 6-figure corporate job in 2009 and started her life coaching business, which she has today. Today's guest for episode 305 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Jenny Shi. Jenny, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jenny, I'm really happy to have you on the show, and I'm really looking forward to diving into this because there's just so many people out there who want to make money doing what they love. Before we get into that topic, though, can you just give us some background into why you started your life coaching business, like why specifically you went in that direction?
You know, I think my life coaching business was my first business out of corporate, and I think it was an overcorrection. So I was an engineer and an engineering manager, and I was surrounded by all these left-brain logical people, of which I am one, but I felt like my heart isn't in this. Like, I don't feel like if I retired at age 65 having made high-tech office products that I will have fulfilled my purpose on this planet. And so I went way the other direction, way from left brain, way to right brain, to I want to help people do, like, leave their jobs and find their passion and do what they love. And so I went into career coaching. And a couple years later, I course corrected, sort of found the middle ground, little pendulum swing back to the middle, where I help people follow their passion to do what they love, but really help them build a business. So marrying that left brain engineering side of me with the right brain passion, fulfillment, creativity in the middle. Helping people make money in their businesses doing work they love.
And that's a really awesome backstory. I mean, like, you're combining different parts of your mind. You're really pursuing something that you're passionate about, the whole creative side as well. And I'm wondering, just before we jump into this, I mean, we mentioned earlier you quit your corporate job to pursue this area. I'm wondering if you can go a little more into detail about your decision to quit and that entire process, because some people, they want to quit, they don't feel ready. Other people, they're ready, but they really just don't want to make the leap. So I wonder if you could explore that a little bit.
Yeah, sure thing. So I would say it was around 2007 where I was thinking to myself, it was the year I turned 29, and I thought, if I don't do something, I kept thinking, so let me back up. Back in college, I went to school to get an engineering degree simply because my parents said, you go to college to get a job. I thought, I'm good at math. I'll become an engineer. Engineers get jobs. So that's how I picked my college degree. Like, that was the thought process. And I, honest to goodness, did not enjoy engineering school. I was miserable for 4 years. The only reason I didn't change majors was because I realized that I didn't know anything. Like, my dad's like, go switch to accounting or go be a lawyer. And I thought, that will create the same problem, which I don't really know what I want to be doing. So I just buckled down and graduated, and I got a job, and I kept thinking, one day I'll just know, like this fairy will come and bless my brain and I will all of a sudden know what I've meant to do with my life. But by the time I turned 29 and I'd been in corporate, you know, I graduated from college and 7 years in corporate, and I thought, I'm not any closer to knowing what I want to do with my life than I did 7 years ago. And if I don't do something different, I'll stay in this cycle forever. Nobody's ever going to come and just tell me what to do with my life. And so at that moment, I decided I've got to figure this out. I don't know how I'm going to figure it out, but I have to. And I really started getting into like self-help. I started reading books about what you're meant to do. And I hired a career coach and I tried different therapies. And I just started exploring and asking myself questions that I really didn't feel like I had permission to ask myself before, or maybe wasn't ready to ask. And in the process of doing that, I read this great book by Barbara Sher called I can do anything I want if I only knew what it was, or something like that. And I was like, this is exactly how I feel. Like, I feel like I could do anything, but I don't even know what I want to do. And she just sort of helped me tap into this place of, oh, like, I want to make a difference for people. I want to have an impact. I don't want to just go through the motions. This isn't just about me fulfilling something for myself, but I need to be connected to something greater. And that's when I decided to go and become a life coach. I trained with Martha Beck to become a life coach. And I thought, oh, this is so great. I can help people find more meaning in their lives, and I can help them just escape this corporate that they just did because they didn't have a better idea, and help them tap into something more meaningful. And I decided to quit my job cold turkey. So I was and still am the breadwinner in our household. And at that time, you know, I was like, all right, honey, I want to quit my job. And he's like, okay, okay. And we saved up some money and I just went for it. And, you know, I'm actually a really risk averse person. And so I look back and I'm like, wow, that was really gutsy to have just quit it cold turkey, being that I sort of make the money in our house. But it just felt right. And a friend of mine at the time had said to me, because I remember wrestling with this, like, I know I'm going to leave. I don't know when I'm going to, but I'm going to, but I was just kind of crazy in my mind. And she said, Jenny, you will know when it's time. And I remember one day I just woke up and I'm like, it's time. And I wrote my resignation letter to my boss. And that was it. You know, a month later, or maybe 6 weeks later, I was gone and I was off to do my own thing. And we cut our household budget significantly. We lived on savings for a while. It was terrifying. But I think also for me, my rear was on the line. You know, we didn't have other money coming in. There was only so much savings. I had to make my business work. And although that then created a lot of stress and I think some illness for me, it also, that fire was drove me to do things that I was terrified to do. It pushed me to learn new things and to put myself out there in kind of big ways that I might not have done if I still had the safety net of my job. I'm not saying that way is for everyone, but looking back, I think it was really, like, that's why I had to do it so knife edge, not having made a penny in my business, and just go for it.
And it's interesting how you didn't just decide to do this right away. You planned this out. You thought about this in like 2007. You went through this whole process and then you decided, okay, I'm going to write my resignation letter. So it's not like if you are thinking about leaving your job right now, if that is the boat you are on right now listening to this episode, it may not be something that you do immediately. It's something where you may grind a little bit on the side and then you're confident with what you've got going on with the side hustle. And then you make that jump. So definitely something to think about, planning that whole part out. And I mean, it's based on that, it's pretty clear why you're so uncompromising towards the dreams that you set for yourself. I mean, really, like, getting out of that safety net, going all in on your business, that's the big commitment. And some people may not want to jump out of that safety net right away. But yeah. I'm wondering if you can give us some insights on how we can also become uncompromising towards our dreams, not necessarily giving everything up, but really committing ourselves and putting in the work to the point where we know we're just going to make this happen.
Yeah, you know, I think it's such a great question, and I think it's so different for each person. You know, you were saying you're offering the advice to folks, and I think it's such great advice. Like, yes, I just made the knife edge decision to leave, but I also planned, like I knew I was going to, and I made some plans and then I did it, even though I hadn't made money in my business. But then other clients of mine, they built their side hustle to the point where they maxed out their hours when they're not working, to the point where, okay, now I'm going to quit my job and go for it. And it really comes down to knowing yourself and knowing what's going to work for you or not work for you, what's going to work for your family or life situation and what's not going to work for you, and really getting, like, honoring that. You know, everybody out there likes to say, you know, you need to make sure you have your rear on the line, or you should build up your side hustle until, like, everybody likes to dish this is the only way to do it kind of advice. And I think what you were saying is so important. There isn't one way to do it. The way we do it is the way we need to do it for ourselves. And ignoring, taking the time to center and get clear on what's true for you, and not worrying about this is the way you should do it. Because there is no should except for what's right for you. And I think that's really where it comes down to being uncompromising, is not willing to compromise your own truth, like, or your own reality, financial reality or life reality, whatever that might be.
And that is interesting. I mean, there are so many different formulas and strategies that people recommend, and you do them. But I mean, going back to like, there are so many things that you could or you should be doing, but it is what definitely works best for you as you pursue your dream. And shifting now towards the whole idea of us making money doing what we love, I'm wondering if we could first talk about, well, what exactly should I be building a business or creating a product around that I love? Because some people, they have a lot of different things that they enjoy, but they have to figure out the best one. So what's your advice on that?
Yeah, so I kind of teach it slightly different than a few other people, just based on my own personal circumstances and experiences. And that is, like, want to piece this apart in a couple different ways. So first of all, I love to cook, and I love to train my dog in learning new tricks. But those are my personal things. And I want to separate that from what I love to do as a profession. I think a lot of times we're, you know, there's all these messaging about there, follow your passion and do what you love. And it's like, well, what? Like you said, like, I love a lot of things. And so think about, what of those things would you actually like to have a career around, that you'd like to spend 30 to 40 hours a week focusing on teaching year after year after year? And what of those things do you want to keep for yourself as fun hobbies? You know, so I didn't decide to become a dog trainer. Like, training my dog is super fun. She loves to learn new tricks. I love to teach her new tricks, but I'm just going to do that for me. I love to cook, but I don't want to cook for a living. So that's, again, just for me. So thinking a little bit about what it is that you want to do for you, and keeping that as your own personal life, and then what would you like to do professionally? And then once you sort of narrowed it down to this category of things that you like to do in a professional capacity, this is, again, where I think I deviate a little bit from what a lot of people say. And a lot of people will say, you know, go and after what the market's asking for, and do your market research, and, you know, make sure that this is what your customers want. And I'm really of the stance that people want everything. And at the end of the day, for our businesses to be successful, we have to do hard work. Like, it is a hard work to build a business, especially a successful online business. You're going to face a lot of challenges. You've got to go through a lot of personal breakthroughs. So instead of asking what the market wants, ask what thing you are so excited to do and so excited to help other people with, that excitement is going to push you through the things that are really hard. So when I first started my business, this was before Facebook Live and before Instagram, and people were starting to put videos out on YouTube, and I was so terrified to put videos out on YouTube. But it was more important to me to build my business and to make the impact I was here to make, that I was willing to get over my fear and just make those videos. So what are we so excited to do, and who are we so excited to help solve what kind of problem, that excitement is willing to push us over these very uncomfortable hurdles that we have to face and overcome in order to build our business? And that's really, once you sort of get clear in that direction, I find people know what they want to do. All that other advice falls away, and they're like, oh yeah, I kind of know what I need to do. It. Oh, this is so hard and scary, and okay, I'm excited to do it. It's a little mix of emotions there.
And you do mention something very important, those obstacles that come along the way. It doesn't matter what you pick, they're definitely going to come. So as Jenny said, make sure you're picking something that excites you so much that it'll help you power through some of the obstacles that you're facing. So, I mean, now we have a pick, but how exactly do we go about making money with that one area? I know a big part of it is growing an audience and creating a product, but I'm wondering if there's a deeper idea of how we can make money doing what we love.
Sure thing. My expertise is in helping smart business owners start and grow online service-based businesses. So that's folks like coaches, consultants, PR experts, designers, copywriters, nutritionists, basically anybody who offers a service from one person to another person, one-to-one, virtually to anyone around the world. And so once you know what you're excited to do, who you're excited to serve, what problems you're excited to solve, or at least are in the ballpark when it comes to creating a business around that service, the very first thing you do is talk to people you know and ask them if you could practice on them for free, especially if this is something you've never done before. It would be a little different, say, maybe you had a corporate job doing PR and you wanted to start a PR firm and you were doing it a really long time in corporate and it's pretty much the same thing personally, so you might not have to test it out with people for free because you already know what you're doing. Maybe you're a designer with experience or a copywriter, you already know how to do that, so you don't necessarily need to do the free thing. But for folks who want to do maybe move into coaching and haven't really done it that way before, I always just say start by just practicing with people for free. Find people who need what you want. That's what I did. I probably spent 60 hours of coaching, career coaching people for free. And along the way, by doing that, I realized, oh, I like these kinds of people. I don't like these kind of people. I like to solve these kind of problems. I don't like to solve these kind of problems. So by doing that, you get a sense of what you want to be doing. And again, it's all about aligning you to the thing that gets you most excited. So at some point, you reach this point where you realize, oh, okay, these are the people I like to serve. This is what I like to do. This is how I want to do it. I've got this idea. And maybe, like using my PR, copywriter, designer example, you kind of are in your job and you think you want to do this on your own. You've got a really good sense of who you want to help and what kind of problem you want to help them with. The next thing I recommend people do, and this again is a little bit different from the industry norm, is create what I call a bite-sized offer. So instead of going out the gate, you know, charging premium prices and making sure you value your time and all those kind of buzzwords, you start the opposite. You start with the minimum viable product for services, or what I call a bite-sized offer. It's a very small offer that helps deliver a tangible result for your perfect client. And oftentimes for a coach or a consultant, that looks like a 90-minute session where you deliver something specific with a 30-minute follow-up session to really close up any loose ends, answer any questions, and really blow your customer's mind in the process. For a copywriter, it might be writing an about page, or a designer, it might be creating a landing page or choosing a color palette, logo, and fonts or something like that. But really small bite size is the key here. And you're going to charge $99 for it. And a lot of times people kind of balk at that and they say, oh, $99, that's not enough. I can't make a living. And I just want to say, that's not the goal. So the goal of the bite-sized offer is to now prove to yourself that we have this intellectual understanding that I know how to do copywriting. I know how to do design. I can do PR. I'm a good coach or whatever. But there's a part of us that isn't totally sold that we can make a living doing. So the goal of this bite-sized offer is to go out there and charge $99, work with a handful of people, prove to ourselves that people will pay us money, that we can deliver these little results. And it starts to build our confidence and we get a little bit of money in the process. So we go and we serve a couple of clients and we start to have these aha moments. It happens every single time a client does this. Maybe they'll serve 3 clients, maybe they'll serve 10. At some point they'll go, oh, I know, if I just, and then fill in the blank, I have no idea what it's going to be. But maybe they're a career coach and they do a 90-minute session and a 30-minute follow-up and they help people identify the number one thing that's stopping them from figuring out their dream career. I'm just making that up. And they realize after doing a couple of these sessions that not only does that help their clients get unstuck, but then the next thing their clients all seem to want is this other thing. And if they just then did 3 60-minute sessions over the course of the month, they could then create this much bigger result for clients. So organically, through what I call serve and learn, so you're going to serve the clients, you learn from the experience, you then make your offer bigger. So you're slowly increasing your offer size, the price size, your own confidence, your own fan base, your own ability to deliver these amazing services to the people you're most excited to learn, to serve. And along the way, you're getting excited and you're niching down because all of these clients are showing you what you like, what you don't like, where you shine, who your favorites are, who you don't want to work with. And this is then the beginning of building, and it can happen really quickly, a really sustainable online service-based business. I kind of did that in a nutshell, but hopefully that makes sense.
I mean, I really like what you said. I see the key focus is to just serve the right audience and learn from that. And I feel like that's really how success happens for any business. You know who your audience is, you know what their wants are, and you provide them what they want. So that's a really great analysis. of what we need to do so that we can make money doing what we love. And that's pretty much what to do. But even though I feel like we get the basic concepts, not everyone is able to make money doing what they love. So I'm wondering if you could share with us what you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential and being able to really make money doing what they love.
We are our own worst enemy, said with so much love, and myself included in that pocket. You know, we all find ways to just get in our own way. I see it with myself. I see it with my clients. I see it with my friends. And I see it now to the point, especially in myself, where it's funny. Like, I will be like, oh, there I am doing that thing again. Isn't that hilarious? You know? And so when we start to realize that we are the ones stopping us. So I don't want to put myself out there and whatever, pitch this podcast because I'm afraid that they're not going to like me. That is so on me. I'm so afraid to go out there and network at this event because I'm afraid people will think what I'm doing is ridiculous. That is on me. No, I don't want to go put that video out there because I don't have the lighting just yet. That is on me. The video lighting doesn't have to be perfect. So all of these things that we start to believe, say we need to be better than we are, have more information when we are than we do, look differently than we are, whatever. You know, all of these things, these are self-imposed limitations. We are the ones stopping ourselves always. And when we really get that, when we get that at the end of the day, we are 100% responsible for every thought and action or not action, when we own that, stuff starts to shift. And we say, okay, I'm scared and I'm going to do it anyway. I think this is totally going to flop, but I'm willing to put myself out there anyway and learn from it. And when we start to own all of that, that's when we start to create traction. If somebody's not getting traction, it's because there's part of them that's refusing to own what they are probably not willing to do because it's scary. So, or they're waiting till the fear goes away, and the fear never goes away. You have to do the thing and then it stops being scary. It's not the other way around.
Yeah, and that fear is always going to stick around. The most successful people, they still face fear. They're just better at saying, okay, I see this fear, but I'm going to go towards this objective anyway. And it's important to have an all-in mentality towards what you're pursuing. Even if you still have the job, you don't quit it just yet, you still need to have an all-in mentality to the point where I'm really committed to making this happen. And then you keep putting in the work to show that you're all in. So you, in a sense, walk the talk, and then eventually good things do happen and you're able to make money doing what you love. And I mean, Jenny is an example of someone who's been able to do that, and she also helps other people do that, which is also really awesome. So one of the things that I do want to ask you, Jenny, is if you could share with us some of the habits that you consider essential for your success?
Number one is, above anything, my health is most important. I was chronically ill with Lyme disease for several years in my business. And again, still as the breadwinner in our household, I was really sick. My brain was super foggy. I hurt all over. This was the case for several years, and I still had to make money in my business. And what that meant was I had to prioritize my health first, making money second. And they were really close, first and second, because both were essential for life to continue in my world. And so what that means is I sleep fully every night. I eat very well, and I will spend extra on organic vegetables and grass-fed meat and cook for myself in ways that are really health promoting, all those sorts of things. So lots of other things in the health arena, but health is number one, because if I'm not functioning well, my business is not going to function. And so that's definitely one of my habits. Sleep and all health things related take a top priority. The second one is I don't spend a lot of like procrastination, fluffy time. So you won't find me scrolling Facebook. You won't find me Twitter chatting with people. You won't find me just wasting time looking at random stuff. I don't subscribe to any newsletters. I don't regularly go on social media except to respond to my own audience. I'm really focused because I'm only willing to work about 30 hours a week, and those 30 hours I am on. And in order to do that, I don't have time to procrastinate. I don't have time to let my mind wander elsewhere. The other reason is because I can quickly go down the compare and despair road. And we were just talking about the importance of mindset. And I know I have to keep my mindset in check. And if I'm out there looking at what everybody else is doing, I'm going to quickly go down a rabbit hole that is not going to serve me. And so putting blinders on and not paying attention to anybody else has been essential. So health, number one. Two, really focused when I work, not allowing distractions and not paying attention to anybody else. And I would say those would be the two main habits. And there's lots of other little things that I do, but those two are sort of cornerstones of how I work.
Jenny, thank you for sharing those habits with us. And I mean, the main thing I hear when I'm hearing your habits is you've got priorities straight with health and money, because if you make, like, why do we make money? If you make money and you're 30 pounds overweight, you're not happy with your relationships, what's the point of making money? So it's important to, it's great to make money, don't get me wrong, but you want to be able to focus on those other areas of your life that are also very important. And also that emphasis on time, because we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And some people, as you mentioned, they're scrolling through Facebook while you're not. And I mean, you said it, you don't have the time to procrastinate, which is definitely a really awesome motto to go by. And I think something that we should make time for is learning as much as possible. I know you at home or in your car, you're doing this right now by listening to this podcast. But I'm wondering, Jenny, to just further the learning, if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
So I knew you were going to ask this one, and I was going to ask you, could you give me a category? I'm sitting next to a bookshelf. I'm like, I can't pick just three.
I mean, just anything you feel like would help us, personal development or business.
Okay, I'll just pick the first three that catch my eye and assume those will be the right ones. The first one is The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It's a really easy read and is just such a, it teaches you, sort of shows you ways to think about how you get in your own way. And this book is never going to go old or stale on you, because no matter how far you grow your business, there's always another upper limit to face. There's always another hurdle to surmount. So The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks is the first one. The second one is Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. I know way too many business owners, especially online-based business owners, but not just there, regular business owners too, who tell me that they run a six-figure or seven-figure business, and then I find out they have no profit and barely pay themselves. And I just think to myself, no, like all of the stress, all of the challenges of running your business should also come with profitability. And it's really important. I think if you're going to build a business, make sure you can make money. Otherwise, like you were saying, what's the point? So, right. So Profit First by Mike Michalowicz would be the next one. And then a third one, let's see. All right, this is a totally different one. This is the book that I am, these are actually two books, but I'm going to pair them together. An author named Michael Singer, he has written the Surrender Experiment and The Untethered Soul. And these two are like my go-to books right now. I don't generally read books multiple times, but every once in a while, like every 10 years, a book catches my eye. And I feel like this is my manual for the next decade of my life. And I feel like these two books are the manual for the next decade of my life, because they really talk about, he's a spiritual teacher who talks about using life to facilitate your own personal growth. And for me, as a business owner, I've been now self-employed for almost 10 years. I realize that there's a lot of things I'm in charge of, like how I spend my time, what I focus on, what I plan, what I don't plan. But there's a lot of other things that are not in my control. Like, for example, we're running a Facebook ad campaign right now, and we had some hiccups at the beginning, and Facebook shut down our ad account, and it turned out to be okay. It was fine. We got a great team on it. But those things, you know, we can follow all the rules just right, and then stuff happens. And what I'm sort of integrating from Michael is, own what I can control and surrender what I can't. Make a really good plan and know that some other stuff is just going to happen. And to do that, and this is also a personal journey and a health journey, because one of the next things I need to do is really learn how to roll with a bigger team and bigger budgets and bigger launches and do it without compromising my own health. And part of that is knowing what is in my control and what is not in my control and going through those motions as well. So those two books are really speaking to me on a deeper level. They may not speak to everybody around success, but that is exactly the recipe for my being at the moment.
Jenny, thank you so much for sharing those book recommendations. Those will be all in the show notes, marketberry.com/E305. We'll also throw in content marketing secrets in the show notes for anyone who wants to get revenue from their content. And Mike, the author of Profit First, he's been a guest on the Breakthrough Success before. He's been in 2 episodes, actually, so we will link those in the show notes as well. And before we wrap up this episode, Jenny, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Am I doing this to make money, or am I doing this to serve? And here's what I mean by that. Every once in a while in business, we reach a point where we think, oh, if I just did this, oh, I could really make some more money. We're doing it from this place of getting, not from giving. And what I've seen over and over, and it's this crazy, crazy mind thing that happens, is when I do something with the goal of money first and service second, it never works. When I ask myself, what am I here to give instead of get? And is this what I want to, is this the thing I'm supposed to give next in my business? Is this the thing that's going to serve people the most? Even when it doesn't make logical sense to my very logical brain, it always works out better. I am always more profitable when I lead with service than when I lead with getting money instead. So you could ask it, am I doing this to make money or to serve? Or you could say, am I doing this to get rather than give? But service and giving somehow always comes back to being more profitable than just seeking the profits.
Jenny, thank you so much for sharing that question and all of your great insights throughout our time together. For anyone wondering where we can find you, places we can learn more about you, where would you like Breakthrough Success listeners to go?
The best place for folks to find me is to head over to jennyshee.com. That's my main headquarters. And if you scroll over to the free resources page specifically, you'll find tons of resources on growing an online service-based business. Things from setting up systems in your business to how to get clients, to grow your email list, to work less without compromising your income, and so much more. And there's just, I've been in business for quite some time, and if you just scroll around, you're going to find information on all of that and so much more to help you on your business journey wherever you are right now. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/JennySheePage.
Jenny, thank you so much for sharing those resources with us and all of your great insights throughout this episode. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markgaberty.com/PD.